is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello everybody, this is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties. We are at our Master Gardener Information Session. We have a wonderful presentation that Maggie Murphy, who is a Calaveras Master Gardener, is going to be presenting, and the topic is Seed Law. Maggie, I have to tell you, it is an intriguing title.
Well, Debbie, as you know from our discussions, it's kind of gone back and forth with people interested about saving seed, and then what do you have to know before you save seed? So this particular presentation at the end, it won't get into a great detail about saving seed itself, the physical aspects that will be coming sort of next, you might say, the next thing to tackle.
Okay.
But what we want folks to know about this presentation is once you start talking about law, of course, you can get into all kinds of detail. Or when you start talking about the seed industry, you can be talking about the global agricultural seed industry. But master gardeners are focused on home gardens. So this presentation is not going to get into depth on anything that wouldn't relate back to a home garden.
Okay.
I'll be focusing only on those points. And now with that, some people may not know, genetically modified seed is not available to home gardeners. So in all the discussions we'll be having, I won't be talking about genetically modified seed at all. The other thing is in the industry, there are some global players, and I'm not really going to get into some of the large global ones. We'll just be talking about the stuff that you can relate back to your own garden, your own seed saving efforts. I think most of you know, some of you may not, but when you have your master gardener hat on, we don't endorse any specific company. Of course, I want to be able to show you pictures and slides and have quotes, so I will quote from specific companies, but I am not endorsing them. And there are laws that relate to plants and seeds. Why have laws? Well, people who develop new varieties put a lot of time, effort, and money into that, and the laws help protect the people who develop new varieties. Also, most of you have seen all the warnings about seeds being mailed from China. Is it possible it's an invasive species? Blah, 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 blah. Importing and exporting of seed is governed by laws, and that does help protect the ecosystem of the various countries. It helps prevent the spread of invasive species. And I think everybody on the phone knows what invasive species are. We are talking not just bugs and fish and rodents, but also diseases and things that can affect the growth of plants and animals. And then finally, the seed-related laws that you'll be happiest to see protect the farmer and the consumer is what is in your seed packet, what you paid to get. The California Department of Food and Agriculture, for those of us in California, that is our main group as far as stakeholders in the industry. I'll be covering quite a few more in very light detail, or not detail at all, but just touching on them. But they're actually the people who do the seed law enforcement. If people want to bring plants into California, they handle the certification and they do the inspections and diagnostics of the companies that are tasked with ensuring that good seed makes it out to the consumer. The promoting new varieties is where some of the laws would affect what you do as a propagator, a plant propagator for the master gardeners. UC will want to help protect the ag industry. We do want to protect the hybridizers, the people who are taking years to develop new varieties. Johnny Seed, one of the websites I found about Sunshine Kobita squash, was that it took them 20 years to develop that particular hybrid squash. So a lot of the legal protections are to make sure that these companies can get their money back for their research and effort. There are three types in the U.S. of intellectual property protection. We care most about the top two, the plant variety protection, that's for the asexually propagated plants, things you take cuttings of if you split the tubers, and the Plant Patent Act. These two acts, you will either see PVP or PPA on a seed packet or on a nursery plant label if it is something that you are not supposed to propagate. Both of those, and I've double-checked, somebody mentioned they had heard it was 8 years. Both of those are good for 20 years from filing. And say all of this is on the CDFA page, their webpage. And if you wanted more detail, we have places you can look for it. The other thing to know about this is, in addition, some seed companies go ahead and trademark the particular variety name. Again, sometimes, you know, I go to websites with other gardeners and stuff, and people are like, oh, you know, gosh, I don't even want to deal with this. We don't care what you do in your home garden. That is completely your business. If you are a master gardener and you have your master gardener hat on, then please only propagate plants that it is legally okay to propagate. Those of you in Calaveras know, say our plant propagation area does undergo a nursery inspection. We really want to protect the industry and ourselves and do what is right. It's an ethical thing. I mean, the patent holder can seek injunctions and damages and all kinds of stuff, but it really, when you're talking us and the level that we're dealing with, we're really talking about just doing business ethically. In addition to Johnny's, another note I have here, Peace Vine tomato that I enjoy, it's a cherry tomato. They took 10 years to develop the stable seed parents and to make that particular tomato available to the public. Now, Peace Vine was the opposite of what you see for a lot of hybridizers. He's actually not protecting it. And the work was done to dehybridize the hybrid Sweet 100. And they took 10 years of crossing their seeds to get that to happen. Okay, now here we go. In case you forgot your Master Gardener Handbook information, plants and how they propagate. If it's seeds and sexual propagation, you have basically your mom plant and your dad plant and your child plant. And they can be vastly different offspring from the parent. And this is really important when you get into saving seed, that the pollen from one plant can cross with the pistil from another if you have your varieties planted close together. Asexual is where you're basically making a clone. You're ground layering, you're making cuttings, you're sectioning your bulbs. For a very long time, people didn't bother to legally protect seed. But that has changed, and this is where most people's concepts of that have not caught up, that there is some seed that you're not supposed to save, that it does fall under a protection. So the federal level of government, you know, we have border protections for plants. We have the Patent and Trademark Office and the very high level of protections. Again, we care mostly about the PVP and the PPA. That would be the Plant Variety Protection and the Plant Protection Act. There's also a Federal Seed Act, and that the state, say California, can enforce the Federal Seed Act. And if California has additional laws, the California laws override the Federal Seed Act. But the Federal Seed Act does have a certain level of law as it relates to seed. And again, I'm glad you're bearing with me, and I know this isn't the most interesting part, but we're almost done with this part. And again, the PPA, the plant protection, you will see it on a label. If it's not on a label, then you don't have to worry about it. That the consumer is protected, so if you get a seed that's protected, it should be on the seed packet. And if you buy something in the nursery, it should be on the nursery label. That it might only say PPA and a number, and it might say PVPA or PVPO and a number. But if it has that designation, then you know it's protected. One way to do that, if you do like protected varieties, is to have some sort of a garden journal so you can keep track of what you shouldn't propagate. You can do it online or on paper. And perhaps another class in the future, we can all share our garden journals and show what we like to keep track of.
I love garden journals. Great idea.
Yeah. I've seen some wonderful ones, and given my computer background, mine is mainly a gigantic Excel spreadsheet. So the California seed law, and this will always supersede the federal seed law. And the other thing to be aware of is, like, how many states in the union are there? How many states have their own seed laws? So there are seed organizations that try to push for consistent seed laws across the states. But at this point in time, everybody can have their own seed laws, and California has theirs. And since California is where we're sitting, this is where we are. But if you thought about selling seed, you can imagine what a headache it is that every state can have their own seed laws. Seed laws legally have to be on the label or the tag. They talk about the quality, germination tests, purity, that you're not getting noxious weeds, you're not getting inert matter and a bunch of dirt and rock, and that the variety that you are told you're buying is what you're buying. That's all part of the seed law. And they do work with other organizations to certify seed conditioners, harvesters, and people performing services. The main thing that is interesting is it does not regulate flower, ornamental trees, and shrubs and seeds of native plants. We're really talking agriculture, turf, and vegetables here. And most people roll herbs and things you eat into the vegetable category for the legal determination.
But just, hey, Maggie, can I ask you, a lot of the herbs, though, used for culinary purposes, I would consider them ornamental. And is there a way to figure out if that's affected by the seed law?
There is probably a way to dig. All I could find this morning, because I was doing some extra digging, I did find something from Purdue University that said, you know, in Purdue, Illinois, herbs are included in their description of vegetables. Most places list vegetables as things that are grown to be eaten as vegetables, but then Purdue said this also includes herbs. I did not find that yet in any California information. Okay. The good thing is, because we have so many states and there are so many laws, that most seed companies are going to adopt the most stringent laws. The labeling, it does protect you, and it protects the breeders because everybody can know if they have property rights. And it also protects the farmers and different people in the seed chain. Because although as consumers, we might not create a huge fuss if one of our seed packets doesn't germinate, you can imagine if you've got the big farms and big machinery and you're out there and your seed isn't what it's supposed to be or it doesn't germinate, that suddenly legal matters get involved. So the seed law does get into detail on that. We're not covering it as far as what kind of damages you can get. That's way too much detail for any of us.
Maggie, I have a question. Caleb, with the named varieties, can we propagate those but not use the name of, say, camellias and that kind of stuff?
We technically, okay, just because it's a named variety doesn't mean we can't propagate it, being that it was a special hybrid and it was protected for 20 years.
Okay.
In addition to that, the company who hybridized it had to decide to protect it. So say Peace Seeds didn't protect Peace Vine tomato because they wanted to kind of give it to the world and they collect donations and things like that. Whereas some of the other things you may see, oh, years ago, because I was propagating a white profusion butterfly bush and I knew the name, so I was Googling what the patents were, and it turned out at that point in time, none of the tall butterfly bushes were patented, but at that point in time, the miniature ones were.
Oh, okay.
So say you could propagate the big ones, but not the little ones. On the seed packet laws, they need to list the variety. And they're really, I've only seen seeds recently that come under the seed protection, because basically it's a type of hybrid that they then keep going long enough to get a stable seed. You know, you can plant this hybrid, and if you save the seed, you get the same plant. That's very different than most hybrids that you're thinking of that have a mom and a dad, and then the child is the hybrid that you really want, and it's really hard to grow that from seed.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the varieties we can't do are actually pretty small. And most of the ones that are protected, like say if Cosmos Thanos is protected, that's the light yellow one. If you buy the packet of seeds, you can grow it and sell it. Most of what we're thinking about really is in the propagation area. If you buy a special plant that's got the little PPA and a number on the label, then we shouldn't protect those. Even if we just say, oh, I'm selling a butterfly bush. But okay. We know it's the protected one. We still shouldn't put it up there. But thank you for the question because it really helps clarify it for everybody.
Are vegetables and herbs included in the law does not require? I wasn't clear on you talking about.
The seed laws, okay, the plant protections, the PPA, that's where I should have been clear. So maybe we should go back to that. So this is only about seeds. Doesn't regulate flower seed, ornamental trees and shrubs, and native plants. You actually see way more of unhybridized flowering shrubs and flowering plants. For some reason, California decided we're not going to worry about flower seed. We're going to worry about agriculture and food industry. But for plant variety protections, those are on a lot of flowering plants. Pretty much, if you get a flyer and it says this is a brand new release, you can probably find a plant variety protection, the little PPA or PVP. And a number on the label somewhere.
You're saying on seeds, we can go a lot by the packet. Like here's a packet of herb seeds and it says public domain, GMO free and public domain.
Correct. And with the whole GMO free, yeah, I've been doing different, I've been a member of different garden websites. Seed companies started putting non-GMO on their seed packets or catalogs. People got angry because they said, well, that's kind of false advertising because no seed company that sells to the public has GMO seed. So then some companies took it down because they didn't want to be accused of trying to make it look like the other guy was doing something wrong. And then you would see on these garden reviews, like Garden Watchdog, somebody would say, well, I'm not buying from them anymore because they took down that they don't offer GMO, you know, non-GMO seed. So it becomes a big thing now. Almost every seed packet you see, at least on their website, they will say it's non-GMO, but you can rest assured with everything. And I've been checking all this stuff out. GMO is still not offered to home gardeners. It's mostly soybeans and corn. And you're talking at the million-dollar farming levels that those folks can get the seed. You can go by what is on your seed packet.
What about scented geraniums?
Each one, we would have to look at the name. If it's been around for 25 years, then it's in the public domain. If it's something new, I don't know if the chocolate ones are new or not, but if it's something new within the last so many years, then you need to look up the name. You Google search on the name. There is government patent and trademark website. And you can search on things there. It used to be an easier search. Now their websites tend to get locked up. But you can also Google it because a lot of times you'll find the breeder's page. And whoever the breeder is will have the accurate information of if it's under patent or not. But most of the scented geraniums, gosh, I had a friend who was into those like 25 years ago. So the majority of them, the citrus ones and such, if it's not a special new name, even a lot of the variegated plants, if you think back to the first time you saw them, they've been around for quite a while. You know, dark plants probably were really in vogue in the Bay Area like 25, 30 years ago, maybe.
Thank you.
Okay, so I did mention we're not going to cover a lot, so not to get too confusing about the global seed industry. And many of you will have nightmares if you know that they have had so many mergers. It used to be the big six, and now it's the big four. And the big four, when you talk agriculture and turf, are Bayer, Monsanto, Dow, DuPont, Corteva, and China Chem, Syngenta. China Chem had bought Syngenta. So those are the big ones. And many of the reports you find online when you're trying to find out who's the biggest and not, they'll combine seed with agricultural products like pesticides. And it can be hard to find sites that are talking only about seeds, only when they talk about those sites. This is where everybody's panic over GMO comes in on who the industry is. And the global seed industry is basically approaching $72 billion as far as that is. Now, I'm not going to talk more on that. Again, we're going to concentrate on home gardeners, but as far as having that awareness that there are laws and there are reasons for laws, you really are talking quite the industry because every country that can grows some kind of food. Now, within California, what I really wanted to let people know is there are suppliers who are the farmers and the seed producers. You know, this is saying first there's the Federal Seed Act, then the California Seed Law. Then you've got your suppliers who grow the seed, the farmer. You've got your labeler. And the deal is the labeler is the person whose name and address appears on the seed packet. So Burpee is a seed labeler. Baker Creek Seeds is a seed labeler. Pine Tree Seeds is a seed labeler. They're not the supplier. And the dealer would be the shop or if the labeler also sells directly. I'm not really concerned as much with them as letting you folks understand the difference between the supplier and the labeler. Because some of you may know I run the Victory Garden website Facebook group for us. And I have so many people saying, oh, this is my favorite seed company. And I'll think, but they charge $2 more per packet than everybody else. And it's the same seed coming from the same supplier, just in a different pretty picture package. And I haven't said that out loud yet. Now, when you get beyond that, there are records requirements, and the folks in our ag offices do handle those, and there are label requirements. And when you think of your seed labelers, which are the companies that are on the packet that you do business with, most of them talk about their test and trial garden. Completely different concept than growing the seed. You know, that's deciding what they're going to carry and how well it does in their environment. And big thing for master gardeners to understand about seed industry is legally, the people you see on a packet that you think of as your seed company, they're considered a labeler in the eyes of the law. And the growers, harvesters, and conditioners that can be big business are all completely different companies in most cases. And if you have a packet of seeds, their name and an address must be on the label. The certifying agencies, you know, California checks which ones are okay, and they have to go through the different directors, and the director at UC Ag Experimental Station, you can see, is also involved before they approve the qualifications of the seed certifying agency, and those are the people running the germination test. And in California, you as a consumer have to know when you buy something how you can use it. So it must be on the seed packet. And the labeling requirements, again, we'll get into it, will always say PPAF or PP pound on the label. And within that, the California laws, and this is California, it does protect the consumer. Because I do have a seed and I looked it up and it looked like it was seed protected. Presto coreopsis, which is like this little 8-inch tall, very compact, very dwarf variety. And because I'm surrounded by trees and forest here, I really am working to get the plants I grow other than vegetables to be all dwarf, basically, so I don't have a lot of fuel for fire. Got a big old plant, you've got a big old pile of fuel.
Right.
And that one, some of the sites listed as having seed protection, because although it's a hybrid, it stays to 8 inches. If you don't grow it near other coreopsis, it will come true from seed. But my packet from Park Seed, and I found it, it had no markings on it. And in California, you as a consumer have to know when you buy something how you can use it. So it must be on the seed packet. And it wasn't. So if I want to collect seed, I don't have to worry because it's not on the Park Seed packet. So I can go ahead and collect that seed and propagate that plant.
Well, that sounds like a winner right there.
Labeling, you know, the CDFA prefers that they actually spell it out and say unauthorized propagation prohibited or unauthorized seed multiplication prohibited or U.S. protected variety. The CDFA really asks them to go the extra mile. Now, if you go to the FloroSelect website, now FloroSelect is basically a flower and plant award that's out of the European Union. They have a gentleman's agreement among members not to propagate each other's plant. So they can get novelty protection that they pay for as part of their membership, and that is all within them. So if you go there and it says it's protected, it doesn't mean it's federally protected. It means that that group decided to have their own protection.
And within themselves, they've decided that they're not going to propagate each other's plants. So I'm assuming that those plants are protected by a patent. I would think
if they went to the bother to pay FloroSelect, that they probably went to the bother to get the hybridization protection. And because the European Union, because at first I was like, why doesn't it just say PPAF or whatever? But again, if you're a hybridizer, you actually have to do it in every country. Well, that's true and not true. Some countries have cooperative agreements. So they have to know, and I don't know which countries have the cooperative agreements, but they have to know where to file to have that PPA marking. I guess from what I've seen is most of them do file in the U.S. and they hope the U.S. has the cooperative agreement. Even if they're a German hybridizer, they still seem to have U.S. marking because those PP things are our markings. But yeah, if you go to FloraSelect and it's protected, because that's where I saw that Presto was protected, and then I went over to Parks and I'm like, well, Park doesn't say anything and there's nothing on my packet. I can turn right. It upside down and all around. So that's where that is. The label requirements for seed are different if you're selling it in a half pound or more or less than half a pound lot. So most of us are buying less than half a pound lot. And if it's half a pound or more, there is more stringent labeling. Our concern is it is the part that says label requirements. And if you buy your seed from a bin, what's in the little blue box, that should be on the bin. So sometimes people can go to an area and they get a big old bin of seeds. You should still have your germination date and the date tested. And that date tested should be 15 months before it's being sold. And then if you buy your packet and it's more than half, you'll see it has a tested date, but it doesn't list the germination percent. And I thought the germination percent was required, but I had to reread it. They don't have to put the germination percent if it's within the California standard. If it's below standard, they have to put the percent and say below standard. California was smart enough to say, you know, no smaller than this level type, because you can be sure. And what is the germination percent for California for a seed? Well, guess what? It's different for every different seed and variety. And I get that, because some things germinate readily and easily. You know, you can put three squash in. That's why we have grade school kids do it, and you'll get three squash plants popping right up. And some seed is very difficult to germinate, and you can plant a whole tray and get nothing and put them outside and bring them inside and do all kinds of stuff. So there isn't an easy way, unless you're going to really become a nerd and go through the website process. There probably is a manual somewhere that lists what the germination percent is for what it's standard and below standard. I do have some packets, and I didn't take a photo of the one, but I found that I did have a packet of seed, because some of them do list germination percent on there, even though they don't have to, and it was listed at 70%. So for me, that isn't really great, but I guess within that seed, it was okay. Less than half a pound, it only has to say packed for the year and the season. And that's what most of you are used to seeing. Packed for 2020, packed for 2019, packed for 2021. They don't have to put the germination test and date on the label. They do have to have it in their records for their lots and stuff, but they don't have to for us. And now the variety, they do have to say, you know, if it's an onion, they are supposed to correctly list the variety. So if you are going for a specific variety, maybe you want Big Boy Tomato, it should be Big Boy Tomato. California has laws, as do many other states. It isn't just California in this regard, that has agricultural inspections, and agricultural laws are what you can bring in and out of the state. And for people to mail plants to us, and there are many companies that legally do this, they have to apply for and get California phytocertificate. It's phytosanitary certificates that their plants are okay and things can be periodically inspected. So if any of you ever have ordered plants online, although, you know, it's always much bigger and much less expensive if you get it locally. But if you go that route, or if you even sometimes shop them in the winter just to see what's out there, some of them will say cannot ship to California, Arizona, Washington. They give you a little list of places they just can't be bothered to do the extra paperwork to mail into. And this is important for home gardeners as well as the businesses, because many places outside California have pests and diseases that we don't have. I mean, when I was digging through some information a few years back, I found something that when they traced it down, they really think that the citrus disease that we're all seeing now was brought into California by somebody getting cuttings of plants that had citrus disease.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.